Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
Hello and welcome. It is that time again, Arrow fans. We have season 7, episode 17, and it is Inheritance. Gotta throw, hold on, fake smoke bomb. Goodbye, buzzers.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
We can't do other music songs.
Allie, I can't get over how good your arm looked when you did that pose.
It was
I was just like checking out like your shoulder muscle. Like, can you do it again? Go to the left and let everyone see.
Oh wow!
Look at that! Dang. Look at that!
Look at those. I'm touching them. I'm touching them.
She could be like an MMA fighter going up against Black Star.
Pure steel. Pure steel.
As I said in my Instagram post, the only guns that should be allowed in America.
Oh. I agree. Okay. But they look good, girl.
Thank you. Thank you. Hi. Hello.
Hi.
You guys are there. Welcome to the show. We have one person missing.
Yeah, he should be here.
So hello from Matt Maher, who's rehearsing his vocal cords right now. But hi, I'm Allie Kona Bradford, your host, and I'm joined by two amazing ladies.
I'm Olivia Di Bortoli. So excited.
Hey, guys. I'm Carolina Benetti.
And, of course, you guys know the deal, and if not, and this is your first time, let me explain. You are co-hosting this show with us. This part of the table belongs to you. This whole half is yours. So please join us in the chat using hashtag ABTVAir on all things social media. Let us know how you feel about the show, any topics you want to recommend, or you just want to say hi. And if you're watching at a later date and not live, that's okay. You can leave comments below. We like those too.
Jump in it all the time, all up in it.
Yes. So let's start with our very first topic. As always, hashtag who I love to hate.
Yep. Get on it in the chat. I'll be watching.
Yeah. So brand new people, if there's somebody who did such a great job as an actor, but you hate them so much as a character, we got to give them props in the hashtag who I love to hate. So you guys know who you have in mind?
I have, I mean, a lot.
Yeah, right?
I have a list.
Okay.
There was a lot of them tonight. Go ahead.
So I'm just going to go ahead and kick it off in reverse order of who gave me rage this episode.
Okay.
Robert Queen. What a deadbeat father. Mm-hmm. I mean, what a P.O.S.
Yeah.
When she came to him with that plan, and he was like, oh, I wish Oliver showed, like, half as much creativity, except he didn't really sound like a dumb surfer voice. But still, he should have been. He sounded like such a dweeb.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was going to say something worse, but then I reeled it in. Yeah, Robert Queen.
Gotta go.
Just no. Dinah, man, shut up. How do I manage to hate you every single episode? There's been like one this season that you gave me a respite. You know, Laurel, I just don't trust you. I just don't know if like it wasn't you, because the way you looked at him was the same way that you looked at the dude that you killed like 3 seasons ago.
Right?
I still think that you don't know who you are, but I'm still not over this, so I'm just here to rub it in your face.
So not over it.
Because you're not a good person.
Yeah.
Still.
Yeah.
But maybe not. But I hate you. I just came here to just crap on your day. I'll be out now. Goodbye. That's the speech that I heard. And I was like, squish her.
Yeah.
And then, small cameo, but I really hated him. The dude that Laurel was interrogating. What a douche.
Neck tattoo guy.
Douche, man. I'm so glad that he got released and got... Because, I was just like, really? Dude, you're going to take my who I love to hate? And then the list grew.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. It's not even hashtag who I love to hate. It's hashtag my entire list of who I love to hate.
So I couldn't pick one.
Carolina obviously took them all.
Right?
So obviously
you
mine is
going to... different ones.
There's nobody else.
I have one. I do have one.
So mine was Robert Queen as well. Like, you couldn't have been a little bit of a better father. You couldn't have introduced at least, you know, one person. You couldn't have just helped her out a little bit. She's way smarter, way more into it than Oliver was. It was just like,
dude.
Or even if he didn't give her a company, couldn't he give her a job or offer something? Her something?
Dude's a billionaire.
millionaire. Yeah.
Cash. I was going to say, just cash. You want to be untraced? Yeah. You want to make sure no
cash
one knows?
Yeah. There
right?
you go.
Make it rain.
It was like $5. Like, right? Give her something. And he didn't do anything.
I can't start this company for you under Queen, but... Hey, girl, here's a couple million. Go start your own company.
Yes.
I'm
yes.
rooting
yes.
you. Daddy's rooting you. For you from the shadows. No, and no. then he's a douchebag. What a douchey exit, too. He's like, I gotta go. I gotta get on the Queen's Gambit yeah. to take a vacation to China.
Yeah, with my son. Mm. Whatever. Like, come on. What a douche. So, yeah, okay. that was mine.
I have so much rage. My heart, I feel like I just did a cardio workout. Like, my heart is racing. I'm so angry at him. Don't at me if you don't agree. He's a crappy dad.
So anyway, my hashtag who I love to hate actually, and I've never said this out loud ever, I don't think, in this whole 7 seasons that I've hosted the show. Hashtag who I love to hate, Oliver.
Okay.
Excuse me. Hello, stupid. Like, at some point, you gotta be like, all right, I get it, like, blood and family and stuff, yeah. but at the end of the day, like, you're being really stubborn and blind.
Well, it was so predictable of him, though. Like, obviously, he's gonna, like, believe in her and believe that she's gonna make the right decision and I can save her. It's such a Oliver move.
But here's the thing. You've got people... Okay, blood is somebody who is your family because they're your family. That's just how life is. But you can choose your family, and that's your friend family, right?
Right.
And so his friend family has been more of a family to him than this random stranger. And just because they share the same genetics, mm-hmm. you're just going to side with her. And, you got your wise friend, Diggle, who's been through the same shit, telling you, bro, trust and believe. I get it.
I've done this.
But learn from my mistakes. And he's like, nope. Ooh.
Yeah.
So that's, anyways, what's your hashtag that you love to hate?
To be fair, I will give him this. When Laurel brought it to his attention and he was like, well, I can't just take your word for it. I have to verify it. To be fair, if somebody told me a story about somebody else, I wouldn't just be like, ooh, tell me more. I believe it. I'd be like, well, let me ascertain what the full scope of the
right.
situation
but he
is.
He does. He sees it. And then he's like, well, I'm just going to get her out of it.
Yeah.
And then she persists. And he's like, well, I just haven't given up. I'm like, bro.
But he did the same thing with Thea and it did work out. So in his defense, he's been there before and it worked out differently.
But he knew Thea his entire life.
He just met homegirl.
But it was still his sister. So, like, in his head, this was, like, Thea 2.0.
Yeah, and it is very Oliver. It was, like, he's not going to change. In all of these seasons that we've done this, he's not going to change. That is always the decision that he's going to make.
Yeah.
Anyway, so,
friends.
A few people in the chat. Blake said, who I love to hate is Emiko. Chris also says Emiko. It's kind of the obvious one. We all hate her. Puddle Pirate says Robert Queen. Thank you. I agree with you. And then Ivan says Oliver as well.
Thank you. High five to that one.
Yeah.
In the air.
I literally thought you wrote Olivia under that, and I was like, they're hating you in the chat. No. You weren't even in the TV episode.
I was supposed to write Oliver, and I wrote my name instead.
Last week she was easy. This week she can't spell.
I was easy last week. You missed it.
Yeah.
I mean, you're easy for me every week.
Oh.
Wow. Shout-outs to everyone
like my good
in the chat. Chris Mo, hi. Ivan, obviously, hi. Hi, Black Magic. Sebras. Oh, Jenna James, never seen you before. Welcome.
Hold on, I got shout-outs, too. I got shout-outs.
Oh, go for it.
Somebody followed me on Instagram, y'all.
Yeah, woo.
A few of you guys did, so thank you. So, you might be a different name in the chat, but I have... And if I say it wrong, woo, I am so sorry. Shazukowski? Hi. Time Traveler Studios. I've got George Jr., 1979. Josh... See, now here's the problem with Instagram. It mushes your first and your last name together, and I don't know where it starts and ends. But I'm going to say Josh Adante. That makes the most
sense.
That
makes sense.
And one of you guys is Puddle Pirate, but under a different name. So, hi.
Yeah, everybody. If you aren't in the live chat, there's one, Buffalo Phil, who reached out on Twitter. Hi, Buffalo Phil.
Oh, yeah, I saw, because he watches us the day after.
Yeah, he can only watch the day after. So, hi.
Hi.
Tomorrow.
Right. In the future. Ooh.
And he doesn't watch. He listens to our podcast, yeah. I think, on the way to work.
Because
he posted a photo. Yeah, in his car.
Oh, that's cool.
So, hi.
Nice. Hello. Hi. I didn't forget you this time.
Well, now that we're done hating everybody, let's actually dive in and bit by bit dissect this. I can talk tonight, just like every other episode. So I want to talk a little bit about the flashbacks. Hallelujah, I got a flashback, and one that made sense, and it moved the episode forward, so...
It explained everything, you know?
Let's talk about Amiko's past.
First of all, nice job picking that girl, because she is exactly, she looks exactly like older Emiko.
And had the sass too, honey.
She was great. I loved
her. She was
her.
A great little actress. I thought she really held her own. I loved watching her. I loved when she filched the wristwatch off of Dante and the whole interaction. I was like, man, this little girl is good.
Well, I just thought it was funny when he was like, do you know who I am? Like, he's totally feeling himself and his ego. And she's
do
like,
do you know who I am?
You know, she's like, Dante, it says on the package. Like, duh.
But that's such a kid response. Have you ever tried to argue with a kid? They will literally break it down to the most mundane thing. And you're like, I'm stupid. That's not what I meant. Don't make me feel this way.
Anyways, I really like that. But it was interesting. They did a great job of twisting the show, first of all.
Yeah.
But you see her, like, being brought up by this dude. And at first, when he was talking about, you know, she's still trying to go after her real dad. And he's like, but we've been your family.
Yeah.
And blah, blah, blah. And I was like, okay.
He was, like, clearly trying to spin it into this, like, her, like, worshipping him type of scenario, which is weird to find out at the end that she's actually the leader of this whole
which
group.
Which makes me go, okay, how did this happen?
Yeah.
But so it also makes me think that there is some serious brainwashing that takes place at a very young age.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And the thought behind it is that she was so young when she did join the Ninth Circle. She probably knows all the head honchos, and they all probably brainwashed her, too.
Yeah. Right.
So this girl is, like, nine circles of hell brainwashed.
Yeah,
right.
But she becomes the leader of it, which is like something serious, you know.
Right.
Or this little cell of it, anyways. Yeah.
And outside of the fact that she's obviously on Team Bad, and we're supposed to hate her, but at the same time, I'm like, oh my God, she is so badass.
Yes, she is so badass. Yeah. But, so I guess, what, she's the new big bad of the season. We finally get
Whoa.
One.
Whoa. Yeah.
Which is crazy. But also, she doesn't, like, strike fear into my heart.
No.
Like some of the past big bads have. She's just like this, like, kind of sweet girl that still, like, didn't kill Renee when she could have, you know? So it's like she's, I guess, the new big bad, but also, is she not?
I think she's really manipulative. Like, that is what makes her interesting. Because at the end of the day, you can only have so many villains that are like, rah, 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 I kill people. Okay, cool, but after how many seasons, how am I going to be interested in that?
True.
And I've said in the past, too, I'm like, we always have male big bads. And we do have some female ones, like in the Triad, we had China White, but it's like flash in the pan, gone.
Yeah.
So I wanted to see
Nissa wasn't exactly friendly in the beginning either.
No, but she wasn't like the ultimate leader
she
bad
wasn't
person.
Damian Dark,
Right. Yeah. So it's nice to see that shift.
Yeah. Few people in the chat, Black Magic, her being the leader makes absolutely no sense. Gabby says Emiko is blind and brainwashed because Dante killed her mom, and the Ninth Circle probably ordered him to do it. So she will join. Like you said, you have to leave everything behind.
Oh, he killed her mom? Did I miss that? Or you just happen to know that because it's like
maybe
secret
she just
insider
knows
info. Okay, got it.
Well, I thought that the note that she got about the death was actually like a future of the flashbacks. Like, we were seeing more ahead into the flashbacks.
Mm-hmm.
And it was actually the notification that they killed her father. I think that...
No, it was the boat thing.
Yeah, the boat. Okay. That's what I'm saying. Is like the but they thought they killed him. So that's what I'm saying is like that they had downed the Queen's Gambit and that that's what that notification was. Not her mother, but her father.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't think they've revealed how it exactly went down with her mom.
Right. She's still hunting down whoever killed her mom, so she doesn't know.
So, but that's what I'm saying. But sometimes in Arrow, they reveal it, and you know other people know, but that one person doesn't. But they haven't done that, so.
Right. What happened to her mom?
It wouldn't surprise me if he killed her, though. That's a great prediction.
Yeah. Gabby?
Yeah.
But we're going to save that thought till the end, because we're still in the middle of the breakdown. Okay.
Okay. Oh, but... Rewind, well, to the beginning of the episode, we got through, like, the flashback of her, but when she's actually interacting with Oliver and they're having their, like, sister-brother, what a cool way to reveal family secrets and past. As I'm sorting you, I'm going to reveal a new fact about me. But anyway, the entire time I watched it, I was so jealous of this girl. As an actor, I was like, that is the coolest thing ever. Like, I want to be on a set, and I want to fight Stephen Amell, and I want to kick his ass around, like, a few times.
No, it was awesome, and it reminded me of when he did that with Thea Queen, and it was, like, it was almost the exact same thing. Like, they would talk, and they would fight, and they would train each other, and it was... I just miss her.
I like that scene I wrote down. It reminded me of, like, the early seasons of Arrow, when we would see him training one-on-one, and it was really awesome. But then I also have a technical bone to pick with it because she asked him how he became a Taekwondo master when they're in the middle of doing a sword fight that very much looked like Japanese kendo.
Yeah.
So I was like, what? I mean, if you were doing Taekwondo, it would make more sense, but you're like in the middle of a kendo match. So, or something similar to it, like kendo-esque.
Yeah.
So,
maybe someone didn't do their homework?
Different martial art. I don't know. But, you know, whatever. They do martial arts, all of them. It's cool.
Yeah, and how did she learn the bow and arrow thing?
I don't know. I was waiting to hear
from Dante. Because remember, we saw her jump up and over the thing and, like, shoot it. And he was like, you're being lazy. You haven't been focusing.
Yeah, but is
he, like... they haven't given us the one-by-one, but I'm going to stop cutting you off. I promise. No, they haven't given us the one-by-one, but obviously it's him because he was literally judging her on her archery.
Yeah. I mean, I guess. But who is he on, like, why does he know how to do archery this well?
He's Dante.
No, okay.
Don't you know who I am?
God.
Going back to when you had done that Archer's Alley, yes. You actually introduced us to the Ninth Circle prior to, which, great prediction.
Thank you, guys.
Yes.
Thank you.
But isn't either Nyssa or Talia in the Ninth Circle?
Yes, so that's how they learn. But also Robert Queen is in the Ninth Circle.
But he doesn't know how to pow pow.
But like so many random people in the comics were in the Ninth Circle that don't really, that wouldn't make sense that they were in, would be in the show as well.
Mm-hmm. But the Ninth Circle also isn't like the League of Assassins.
No.
The Ninth Circle isn't like everybody's this like badass fighter like they are in the League. The Ninth Circle is like the Illuminati of the Green Arrow world.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't know what the Illuminati are, listen, it's Google. A really dark black hole of conspiracy theory on the internet. Go with God.
It's crazy. Yeah. What are some of our friends saying in the chat? And then after that, I think you have something to share with us.
I do.
Let me see. This is from JJ. This show makes my heart hurt. Oliver, at this point in the show, no one should be able to take him. I'm sorry. That's true. Like, every fight scene, you know, like, even Emiko was able to, like, bring him down. It's like, no one should be able to do that anymore. Like, why is he, how does he have that weakness? I agree with you, JJ. What else?
Wouldn't it be boring if he just won all the time?
Seb Russ, it's super weird that Dante was teaching her archery. It makes no sense. Like, is everyone an archery expert in this world? Sonia
isn't.
Maybe he's just judging.
Yeah,
I still think that Nyssa or somebody taught her, but he just happened to be there judging. Like you
maybe.
Suck.
Someone said, "Yay! I made it to the live chat. Welcome, KDD.
Hey,
yay!" And then one more, Sonia. I did not like Emiko for exposing Black Siren because Earth 2 Laurel is trying so hard to become good. It's true.
She just mind fluffed her.
Yeah,
which we're gonna see. But anyways, go ahead. What you got for me, Boo?
Hey guys, before we move on to our next topic, we just wanted to say thank you for making us the ESPN of TV talk. But for us to continue to grow, we need your help. Ways you can help us is by subscribing to our YouTube channel, and you can subscribe to this specific channel. Also, give us a rating on iTunes. Say hi. Drop us a comment. Give us 5 stars. We'll shout you out. We'll say hi back on social media. We'll follow you back. We'll give you some love. I'll send you little digital hearts as we're chatting. And yeah, definitely leave us a comment. So being a part of AfterBuzz TV has been awesome because we get to sit here and chat with you every week and get to know you. And it's our little family.
Awesome show.
And you guys co-host with us. So to continue to co-host with us and be part of the show, please... share the love.
Share it.
Yes.
Thank you.
There you go.
Ding, ding.
Puddle Pirate Productions is Josh Adante, and he said you were right. You said the name right.
Oh, perfect. Awesome. Which leads me to say that make sure to follow us, all of your hosts, on social media so we can follow you back and we can talk to you when the show is not on air. So I'm at yours truly, Ali Kona, with little underscores in between these young ladies.
I'm at Olivia Bortoli. Easy everywhere, like I said last time.
I'm not going to touch it. Hi, guys. I'm Carolina Benetti. You can find me as that on Twitter and LenaBean113 on Instagram. And if you like to eat, you can check out my Dinner Diary series, which I write every Friday on Press Pass LA.
Nice.
Just PressPassLA.com, the end. And you'll learn all about the good foodie spots in LA.
All right. Well, let's talk. I want to dive into Felicity, Archer, and all those things. Before we do, just one tiny detail, just one, is that I happen to notice that when they were in the Arrow Cave and Felicity's delivering information, the struggle is real tonight, y'all. When she's delivering information, Renee was in the room, Diggle, Oliver.
I was going to say this. Yeah.
Yes. And she's like, blatantly holding her stomach and talking. And I'm thinking, did anybody else? I know Diggle knows she's pregnant. Obviously, Oliver does. But the rest of the team isn't like, that's a really weird way to just touch your stomach.
All the time. The whole time. She was just like holding her stomach like a pregnant girl. And I was like, nobody notices. Nobody sees this. I was thinking
the
exact same thing.
Can I just point out that they're men?
God, men are so thick sometimes.
Do you really think Dinah was there?
Girl, Dinah's head is so far up her butt, she can't see anything else. Like, no offense, but she doesn't see past her, like, immediate vision of what she wants to see.
She was holding her stomach. I didn't even notice.
Wow.
See? Guys don't notice that. They just don't. If anything, they would have thought, man, maybe she has a stomach ache.
Maybe she's gas. That Chinese.
It was definitely a pregnant woman move to hold her belly like that.
Yes, okay.
100%. But
what do we know?
Right, right.
Dudes.
So let's talk about Felicity and Archer. She's got her new homie involved, her old homie bringing her back, which is really cool to have her back. Even though her and Elena became friends, I still never trust her.
I'm excited she's back.
I never trust her, though. Wholeheartedly. Because at one point, she was, to me, on the other end. And so I'm like, I don't know how
But so many people have been on the other end, and I feel like she had been forced into that situation. She didn't want to be in it. She was just making ends meet.
And she did end up proving herself to be, like, a good, loyal friend, you know? And that, I mean, I don't think Felicity would just randomly call her back if she didn't trust her 100%. Yeah.
She probably totally checked her digital footprint.
That's
true.
And this girl is, like, smarter than anybody else, so.
Well, and she made her, like, CFO or something?
Yeah, CTO.
CTO, whatever. Yeah.
I don't know what that means.
Chief technical officer.
Oh, okay. Well, either way. What did she say? She had said a few things, and I'm assuming they're trying to drop a little hint as to what happens in the future, because obviously they're bringing all the DNA thing. Oh, she had said something about hacking. If, you know, how do you find somebody's DNA if you don't have them? Yeah. Or how do you find them? And she was talking about, like, hacking the hospital records and stuff like that. And I was like, okay, is that something?
Isn't that illegal and they can't really go down the illegal route anymore also?
Do you think anything illegal has ever stopped Felicity?
Well, they have to stick to the because they're all SCPD officers now.
I mean, when they're doing they have to live by the law. SCPD work.
Yeah, but the only person that's really following the STB... You know what I mean. The law is Dinah. Everyone else is like, yeah, we're doing it. Sure.
I'm not even really sure Dinah's following it 100%. She's just trying to pretend like she is.
She's such a sticker.
It wouldn't surprise me if we found out she was like, yes, everybody but this one thing I was doing. Because it's justified. Because she's shady like that.
Yeah. I don't know. I think she's sticking to the law. Because she's like yelling at everybody else about it.
No, like, she's like...
Yeah, except that I feel like if it suited her purposes, she wouldn't stick to it. Mm. If it was something that she wanted, she wouldn't. But she would hold everyone else accountable. True. And that's why I don't like her.
I think that if it were to be something that had to do with Vinny, then she would bend the law.
Absolutely. Well, we thought she was over it.
That's why I was trying to say, like, something that really was important to her.
Yeah. I thought she was over it, though. I thought she was done with the whole Vinny thing, but clearly she's not, which is that's super annoying.
Left field.
Yeah.
Way left field.
Cam D'Amelio said the Elena character is just a basically hotter version of Felicity. Which... I don't agree with
I don't either.
I think they're both very attractive women. They're both completely very different. One of Felicity has a brunette. It's like chocolate and vanilla. You get two different flavors. Yeah. They're both lovely.
Hmm.
Yeah. I just made an ice cream comparison to people.
Yeah, you really did. Yeah. You really did. So we talked about Archer a little bit. I want that to lead us back into, let's talk about these drones that they were trying to track down. We don't necessarily know what's going on, but it would seem kind of crazy to find out that there's this whole mission going on, and Dante, who was in charge, quotation marks for those of you in the podcast, and this whole big scenario was a test. It wasn't even anything.
Yeah.
You went through all that trouble
for a test? That doesn't make any sense.
To me, that was a whole situation to get Oliver and his team involved and for Emiko to have her opportunity to finally get rid of him.
Totally.
Yeah.
That's just me.
I think you're right on the money.
Yeah. I don't think there's much else to say about that because it's true. 100%.
Also, to just, like, have their weird flex. Like, we could do it if we wanted to do it.
Like, this is what's going to happen, so booyah.
Right. Was anybody surprised that she had put a bug into the...
No, there was obviously something wrong. I was waiting for Felicity to, like, go downstairs and find that, like, all the wires had been cut or something like that.
And then Emiko would have been like, it was me, oops, now you all die. Like, obviously. It was obvious to everyone except for Oliver.
I was actually kind of waiting for her to pop off on Renee when they went off one by one. I was like, is he going to come out alive?
I think she has a little attraction to him.
A little bit. It doesn't mean she won't kill him.
She didn't know she had the opportunity to.
She deliberately missed him.
Yeah.
She gave him a warning.
Black magic, but those rapid fire arrows, though. Right?
Yes! Thank you for bringing that up.
Seriously.
Thank you.
Like, those were awesome. And didn't we talk about a few weeks ago, like, how many...
We did. 3 weeks ago. I keep talking about things, and then they keep doing them, and I like to think that DC is watching. So, thanks, yeah. guys.
Like, what was it? Cool 29 arrows in 1 minute or something? Yep. So, he shot off, like, what, not... Or eight? Seven?
Eight. One, seven. One was in one...
Oh, no, he still shot it off, but she hit it with another arrow. So, eight in, like, 30 seconds or whatever. That was awesome.
Yeah. So, really quick, Emiko... after orchestrating all this other stuff, went in and she, I mentioned it earlier, but did the whole like mind fluff with Laurel, and it really ticked me off because the whole situation with Laurel, because she's been trying so hard to be good and to find herself, and I don't think she even realized that she was still in the process of finding herself, and maybe she's not, but just because Dinah went in and was like, you know what scares me is that you don't even know who you are or something, and I was like, ah, bitch. So she like pushed her a little to the edge, and then Emiko showed up, pushed her even more, and the fact that Amiko's like, well, now you're free.
Ugh.
Like, you can't tell, but I'm doing you a favor. You're free now.
That was so annoying, because she's so close.
I want Laurel to turn around and just give, like, a big middle finger to the both of them and just keep being awesome. Just keep being you, Laurel. I believe in you.
Yeah.
Well, which pisses me off more. Like, I don't want to get into predictions, but I will say when we saw the preview for next week's episode, it really pissed me off that I'm like, okay, so these two moments clearly got under your skin.
Yeah, and it's like we're doing that whole thing again where she was bad and then she was good and now she's bad and then she's good again. It's like, just okay, pickling. Great, now she's going to be bad again. It's like you can't just leave her where she was doing good things.
I do want her to stay good.
Me too.
I do too. And I thought she was finally growing on me. And not...
Unless she goes undercover and pulls a 180 on them.
Then that
like,
would be...
Like, oh, you thought I changed my mind? No, fool, I played you like butter.
Yeah,
is that a thing?
No, but it can be.
I
didn't know that
sayings.
Butter could play, but that's okay.
What is the saying? I played you like...
A fool?
A cassette tape?
No, I feel like there's a saying. Somebody help me in the
a
chat.
Record?
Don't you guys know what I'm talking about? Come on.
They're talking about the human-made cloaking tech, which was awesome.
Wait, what?
The cloaking when they hid the drones. I thought that was so cool. I was like, how can you do what? It's like some Harry Potter stuff right there. Nobody has it. Sorry, Dot.
What?
Nobody has her quote that she's trying to say.
Oh.
Nobody's coming with it.
It's a thing. I played you like
a fiddle.
Dot, dot, dot.
Seb Russ.
Yes, I played you like a fiddle. That's the thing.
Okay, thanks, Seb.
Not butter. It's a fiddle. Thank you so much. Chat always coming through for me.
Always.
Okay. Anyhow, so talking about this episode, I feel like I've zipped through everything just because I've said my opinion and then I just put a button on it and I was like, okay, I'm quiet over here now. So if I miss something, please by any means let me know. But I feel like this was a pretty straightforward episode and on top of that, a really good episode.
It was good.
It was really good.
And it felt like, oh my God, I'm collecting so much spit in my mouth, you guys. I have Invisalign. I'm just letting you know, TMI. But I felt like I was really going back to the roots of this show in terms of the way they told the story, and I liked it a lot. And maybe it's just because I was thrown off a little bit by the first half of this season that I was like, oh, God, I miss. And now that we have it, I'm like, oh, God, it's finally good again.
The past few episodes have been, like, really good, and we're like, oh, finally back into it. Back into the old Arrow episodes. Hopefully they finish strong and the next season is strong.
I agree too.
It's been going really strong the second half of the season. Every episode has been like knocked out of the park.
I'm really curious in the chat how many of you were like, oh my gosh, gung ho about the first half of the season. Like all the slab side, you were like, oh, okay, this is great. Did anybody get tired of it after a while? Because I feel like the first two episodes was like, cool.
Yeah.
Episode 3, episode 4, episode 5. I was like, okay.
I'm getting so bored with it. Yeah. We'll see. It takes a second.
I didn't like that creepy guy that whole time. Creepy Stanley.
Oh, yeah.
He was okay. Yeah, he was cool, but...
But I was hoping... I had higher hopes for Creepy Stanley. Like, I was hoping that he was creeping us out because he was going to be the big bad, and then that just fizzled out. Because how creepy of, like, a wimpy big bad that's actually, like, super diabolical. Yeah. But that kind of had, like, an unfulfilling end. But I also feel like they had to end him because he's not main plot point.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And Arrow is coming to a wrap. So they have to focus on what's important.
Puddle Pirate says only the Turner stuff was good.
Turner was good. Yeah, but he's still in the running. So he's still going on. We're going to see more of him. His son's in the future.
Yeah.
We're going to find out more of what's going on with this deal with Laurel.
Jenna James said, I was bored. Ivan Soto, I got sick of Arrow being a cop show.
Yeah.
Black Magic, all the prison stuff was great, but after that, it kind of took a dip.
Agreed.
Yeah.
I only say that because I wonder if one of the things is that, so whether it be true or not, but there were articles written that in Stephen Amell's decision when he was saying, you know, maybe it might be about time, is that there was a dip in ratings. And so he was like, before we have to hobble off the air, like, let's end it on a high note. And I'm curious as to if it was that first half of this season where people started to depart a little bit and caused that to be...
I don't know. I think he was kind of being done with it before that. I think he was... You could tell in, like, his Instagram posts and stuff that he was, like, kind of being over the show and, like, over what he was, you know, all the stuff that he was doing
with it. I think that working out on the level that he has to work out to maintain the Green Arrow physique is really taxing on his body, and he's not 22 anymore. You know, and he's a dad. I'm sure he wants more time with his daughter. And being on a show that shoots a 22-episode schedule where you are the number one, so you're basically in every single solitary shot, is exhausting. You know, he's really paid his dues as the Green Arrow, and he has paved the way for the DC universe on TV. But yeah, I think that for sure, before this season, because his contract was up, he was already thinking that he was done.
Because
his contract was done. And if you renegotiate, you don't renegotiate for one season. You renegotiate for multiple seasons. So, you know, taking into account how old he is, the fact that he's a dad, maybe they want to have another kid. I don't know. You don't know. You know, nobody knows that. And that's hard to do when you have such a taxing schedule. And his wife is also an actress. Like, I'm sure they were having conversations at home like, all right, babe, I gave you 7 years. Like, it's your turn to stay home and do daddy duty and let me do what I do. I mean, even Chris Hemsworth, who's played Thor, has talked about how much he owes his wife for staying home with the kids and letting him kind of like have this run in his career, because he wouldn't have been able to do it without her support and letting him really take the lead on work. And he's not going to continue Thor forever. And now his wife is actually taking on more TV and movie roles.
Yeah.
Well, good for them.
So who do you think is staying home? He is.
Yeah. Right.
So, like, a lot of people I find that are successful that you see stay long term, it's usually because they're having honest conversations about their career. Because as much as you love putting on a costume and being a character, in real life, you also have your family to think of. So you have to make joint decisions that work for everyone.
Right.
And all these years of playing one character is exhausting. I'm just saying, like, as an actor, you want to play other characters.
I think we do need to get into Archer's Alley. I will say this, though. I remember the very first time I started watching Arrow, because I signed up for this show not really knowing what it was. And after the first episode, people are just finding their footing. But I was like, what did I just sign? And after, like, the third episode, I was like, okay, cool. But anyways, let's get into our Archer's Alley.
Yes. All right, you guys. So this week I have got a poster from Batman Begins.
Ooh.
Because talking about the end of Arrow also brings us full circle to the beginning of Arrow. So actually, Green Arrow had been sitting in DC's development hell for years. They even had a movie planned that they were thinking of doing where he's basically an inmate that escapes a high security prison, and the movie would be this big caper chase of him trying to get out. Yeah, that didn't happen. The title was going to be Arrow Escape from Supermax. Yeah, no, that didn't happen. But the Arrow that we did get was because of Batman Begins. So the show's creators who brought it to life, Guggenheim and Kreisberg, Andrew Kreisberg and Mark Guggenheim, they loved Batman Begins. They loved the grounded take on it, and there were so many Batman references. And actually, Guggenheim did an interview with the Huffington Post where he revealed that, yes, in fact, Batman Begins and the second Batman in Christopher Nolan's trilogy are what inspired the creation of the Arrow that we know today. So if you go back and you look at season one and two, they actually heavily follow the development years of Bruce Wayne's Batman, but as if it's the 2 years of his training. So if you think back to Batman Begins, remember we see him on the mountain and we see him in all these different places training with all these different people around the world. That was the experience that they wanted to bring to Arrow and to Arrow fans, because both of the shows are about two spoiled rich kids who undergo this, like, hardcore transformation to become vigilantes. So it is thanks to Christopher Nolan that we have had all of these wonderful seasons of Arrow.
Awesome. Fun fact. Cool.
That's awesome.
Nice. All right. Well, let's get into some news and gossip.
AfterBuzz TV News.
As always, I have lovely pictures.
If you're
in the podcast, I do apologize, and I'll do my best to explain. So this first picture is a celebratory-ish clinking of wine glasses between Jared Padalecki and Mr. Oliver Queen? Oh my god, Stephen Amell. But anyways, this is the first meeting of actors who are soon to be unemployed, to be in the unemployed support group. Did not realize they were canceling Supernatural.
Yes, they
did. They're canceling Supernatural?
After a bajillion seasons.
After like 100 seasons, they canceled.
I was going to say, my God, I feel like that show's older than me.
Yes. and then just a fun fact, I'm sure you guys follow Stephen Amell, but I still like to highlight some of the cool things that he does. Had no idea they had a fear of heights after you're doing all this other stuff. I've seen him training parkour and all this stuff, and you do have to stand on tall things and jump off of them. Mm-hmm. But anyway, he does have a fear of heights, and so he decided that he was going to conquer that fear and go with his wife and go bungee jumping. So check out the video.
Get those arms up nice and high.
Got it, Mom.
A nice big dive out, okay? Here we go. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Yeah, buddy.
That was not a confident jump.
That was so not confident.
No, but can I just say something? Like, kudos to him for bungee jumping, but if you're really trying to conquer your fear of heights, Steven, go skydiving.
Bungee jumping is 100 times scarier than skydiving.
I would think so, too.
Really?
Bungee jumping, I've done both, is terrifying. Skydiving, no problem. But because you can see, bungee jumping, you see where you're landing. You're like, I'm jumping down there, and that is the rock that I'm going to hit my head on, and that is the rock that I die on.
No, but when you skydive, you can see it on the way.
I've gone skydiving. But I feel like that just looks so fake. You know what I mean? It's like so far away, you have plenty of time, and you
skydiving,
float. Whereas bungee jumping is this, like, violent, like, hookah!
100%. I've done both, and it was 100 times scarier than
skydiving. I've never done bungee jumping, so I'll take your word on it.
100 times scarier.
It was so hard. I always thought it didn't look as cool as skydiving, so I've gone skydiving, though.
Also, Supernatural is not getting canceled.
Oh,
it's just ending. They're not. It's same thing, but just to clarify, it's not.
Babe, that's a nice way of the studio saying it's canceled. But yes, it's ending.
Yeah. Listen, I'm just saying what the chat's saying,
okay.
Y'all.
I was just
so let's get back on track. All right, so season 8, we're going to talk a little bit about Stephen Amell. If you haven't heard, there is a big fundraiser that some fans started. He had no idea. Found out about it, retweeted it, and you can take a look on the screen. It'll show you the retweet. He said, I don't know who started this, but the cool thing is, so what fans are trying to do is create a billboard for the finale, the ending of Arrow, but they want the original three on the billboard. It's going to be in Times Square. It costs ridiculous amounts of money, and it's only going to be up for a day.
Yeah.
But Stephen Amell says that he will match the donations up to $10,000, and the people that donate get to pick the charity that he will donate the $10,000 to. He was so touched.
So they made $14,000. Did you have the number yet?
You can go ahead and say it. It's in my notes.
Oh, sorry. Because I saw the tweet also, and it was like they're up to like $14,500.
It's amazing.
It's crazy.
Wow.
And this is
wait. How much does it cost for one day billboard in Times Square?
A lot. Apparently,
I have questions. Chat, do your thing.
Yeah. So this is a chance for fandom to work together and send out their three favorite superheroes with style, with letting them know how much we love them and will never forget the impact that they had on our lives.
Yeah.
And I just threw up some pictures of the OG three, just so you could.
That is so touching. I just got all teary eyed because there have been so many shows, including there's been Smallville, Seventh Heaven, a billion shows that have lasted for ages, and nobody's ever done that for them.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, maybe Arrow is, the best.
But you said it earlier, they literally paved the way. If it wasn't for Arrow, was, an experimental thing.
Seriously.
And again, like I said, with the first few episodes, I was like, what is this? But they had to find their footing.
Yeah.
And when they did, it's it launched so many, not just shows, but careers.
Mm-hmm. For so many people.
Yeah. So anyways.
But aside from that, for the fans at home who are watching, it created so much content that they really love and respond to.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
It's in Times Square for 24 hours. The OTA is going to be up there. It's awesome.
Yeah.
Because I on Twitter, I think I follow one of the people who started this. It's they're team OTA or something. And I saw one of the initial tweets and I was like, oh, this is awesome. I really hope they make it. And then today, I was like, oh my gosh, I see that they made 14,000 because of Stephen Amell, and Stephen Amell is going to match it. I was like, that's amazing.
Yeah. But the cool thing is, it's not like he's like, I'm going to match and help you guys pay for the billboard to put my face up, but to put the 10 towards charity. I was like, I love him.
Yeah.
I already loved him,
hey,
but I love
more.
Hey,
so this is Josh in the booth. So I actually have a answer for the ad cost in Times Square.
Oh,
so it
costs
between 1.1 and 4 million a year.
Oh.
Just to buy advertising space in Times Square, and it could pretty much cost up to 3 million per month. So you can only imagine it could be pretty pricey for just 24
hours. Good.
Okay, guys. So I don't know if you heard our producer, but basically it could be up to 1.2 million for the year. So that's very pricey.
Yeah, it's crazy.
And he said 300,000 for up to a month. So that's a lot of money per what is that? Like $30,000 a day?
That's courageous. Well, right. They're going to do it.
Well, guys, we're halfway there. Yeah. They're at 14. We're you could send a kid to college.
For a billboard. Let's predict, guys.
Yeah,
predict.
Let's predict.
And now, you're after Buzz TV.
Predictions. Get in the chat and let us know.
Exactly. I was going to say, that is your cue. Fun music is to start typing into the chat if you're watching live. And if not, and you're watching Not So Live, it's still your cue to start typing some predictions below.
In the chat.
But I'm going to kick it off just because we got to see Laurel doing her thing as Black Siren. And I was like, urgh! So what? You guys are like making faces over there. What's happening?
No, nothing. I don't know. Go ahead.
That is a very devious smile.
This is called fear. Continue.
Okay. So anyway, what I was going to say is that I think that Laurel does go rogue, but it just makes me so mad because she has to go there. Like, already I'm interchanging names. Oliver was already questioning her loyalty. So for her to come out and to say, that's why I don't think it's an act, because she went out to the one person who does not trust her the most and said, oh, you thought I was an ally? Not. Anyways, that's all.
I like that.
Know if that was a good prediction.
No, it was a good prediction.
Go ahead.
My prediction is, and I see you guys are, you know, you're really coming through. I'm really proud of you. It only took you half a season to, like, really
high five.
Come in with the predictions really fast. So I'm getting to those. My prediction is Emiko will be the big bad of the season, but there is going to be a softer side to her where, in the end, she's maybe not going to be as bad as we thought.
My prediction is for the flash forwards.
Okay.
Ding, 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 ding. So I think that they're going to find Oliver, and he's going to have been tortured for all those years, and he's going to be like half of the person that he was. And then that's going to bring Mia and Felicity closer together, because Mia wants a relationship with her father as much as Felicity wants to save her and as much as William wants to bring his whole family together. And I think it's going to be really cute and gross and emotional, and they're going to save the day.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
That's a lot. Okay. So I have a few. Chris says Emiko will die.
Okay.
JJ says Sarah's coming back, which would be awesome.
Oh, yeah. Birds of Prey episode.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That I think that's, JJ, you're on one.
Oh. I'm going to piggyback you. And I want to say that the reason they have that Birds of Prey episode is maybe because Emiko does get herself built up so big that the team can't do it alone.
Yeah.
So Oliver's like, boop, 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 Legends of Tomorrow. Hi. Yeah. We need help.
And there you go. That's a good one.
Maybe she comes back to bring Laurel back from the precipice of the dark side, because nobody knows that precipice better than Sarah.
But it's not even the real Laurel.
Yeah. It's a fake Laurel.
Would you really do that? Okay. I predict that they're going to bring back the Lazarus pits.
The Lazarus pits?
I don't know.
Whoa.
Go ahead.
Hashtag throwback. Okay. Gracian Ryan says Laurel will get killed, saving Team Arrow from Emiko.
Again? Oh, shit.
They can't kill her again. They only have one season left.
Seriously. Kat, I wrote it down. How does... Oh, we'll get to that one. Cam says the ninth circle will infiltrate the city's government and make it into what it was in the flash forwards, which is why Mia had to be hidden for her protection. And then Kat, says, I want to know, how does Oliver lose his arm? I want to know that too. I think about it all the time, because in the Legends episodes, it's like he doesn't have an arm.
Isn't that in the comics?
Or in the comics, yeah.
I think he does it saving Felicity so she can't get injured while she's pregnant, because she's there.
That's a good one.
Jenna James, my weird prediction, Felicity or Renee somehow kill Emiko. Who knows? Just a hunch.
Nice hunch.
They're all a bunch of hunches, you know?
Oh. All right, guys. Well, thank you so much for joining us. We had an amazing time, all of us, our family to yours. Thank you so much for joining us every single week. We really appreciate you, and we can't wait to talk to you on social media. So signing off, I'm Ali Kona Bradford. Follow me at yours truly, Ali Kona, with the little slotches.
Bye, you guys. Olivia Di Bortoli at Olivia Di Bortoli.
Bye, guys. You can find me at LenaBean113 on Instagram.
And don't forget to find Matt Marr, Matt with two T's, two R's. Good night. Bye.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.